Good morning. Well, we have the pleasure this morning of listening to our brother Jake. How many of you don't know Chloe? Couple of you. Yeah, that person doesn't know Chloe. Chloe was homegrown girl, grew up here at First Baptist, and went off to work with YWAM. When did that start? When? 2016. So we've been gone 7 years. So she's been serving with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And somewhere along the line, I'm not sure who snagged who, but they got married. And now she comes back to visit her home country and she brings back a boy. She brought back two boys this time. Two boys, yeah. So Jake and Chloe been together now for, 2 years, okay? And we got a beautiful little guy that just got enough hands around here to pass him around. He's like, not a problem at all. But we asked Jake if he would be so kind to take the pulpit as we've been filling in, and he graciously accepted the offer. So I'm gonna ask Jake if he would come and let us know what God has laid on his heart.
Chloe, can you talk?
Your deal.
So Chloe's actually going to quickly share just a short update about what we're doing as missionaries in Kaiser. If you didn't know, the church sponsors us to do what we do. So I thought I would let her share since you guys know and love her.
Hi, family. Yeah, so we've been, well, Jake, it was born and raised in Kaiser, and just like me, went away and did Youth with a Mission, partnered with them for a couple of years, and then returned back to his hometown. And now he's a full-time missionary. We all are. And so a lot of what we do is we work, well, one, we're a part of training and sending people to the nations. That's our heart. That's what we want to see. We just know the call that God has on us as Christians. For all of us, we talked about it in youth group this morning, is to go and share the good news. And so that's primarily what we do in this season. And since COVID changed a lot of things. We've been more at our home base, which is Kaiser, West Virginia, which is a tiny little town on the panhandle of West Virginia. Which there's Virginia and West Virginia. We are not Western Virginia. We are West Virginia. And so we have the privilege of serving in that community. And during COVID, we felt like God asked our team. So we have a team back there of four or three other couples, and we're a part of them. And we prayed, and we felt like God was leading our team to serve the community, to focus on the community. A lot of you know that for a long time, I would host people and then take them on outreach or train them, and then we would go somewhere. We still do that, but in this season, we've been focused on Kaiser, West Virginia. And one of the ways we do that is we run a micro school. Which I don't know if anyone knows what that is, but it's basically homeschooling other people's children, in short, simple terms. So our community is high risk of drug abuse, all kinds of abuse, and a lot of children with a lot of needs. And so one of the needs we saw was education. A lot of the children through COVID were just falling through the cracks, didn't know how to read, didn't know how to do simple math. And so we prayed and we felt like the Lord ha gave us a facility to be able to host children and to kind of tutor them to where they can go back to public school and succeed. So a lot of our students are behind, but they've been making great strides. And Jake and I work with the middle school age group, which is just a hoot. Jake teaches math and science, and I teach social studies. And so we do that on a day-to-day basis, but then we also partner with many youth groups within our community. We take kids to their basketball practices. Parents have called us up and said, hey, I'm at work. A lot of single parents in our community. I'm at work. Can you give little Joey a ride to baseball? So we've gone to many sporting events. We have a lot of miles on our car, but it's all just a joy to be able to show them Jesus. I was telling the youth this morning that in our community, well, first off, in the United States, based off of the Joshua Project, don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's just a organization that takes the statistics of unreached people groups in our world. And in the United States, we have approximately 97 unreached people groups right here in our own country. So we're living, well, many of you probably experienced a Christian culture of the United States in some way, but a lot of the youth, especially in the lower 48, and probably here too, are not being exposed to Jesus like our nation once was doing. And so we have many of our youth group, our children, we work with kids from 5 years old to 18. That's our youth group. It's 5 years old to 18. And we, on a Wednesday night, we have anywhere between 30 kids to 180. It just depends. We give them dinner. And so a lot of them come for a warm meal, but we get to share Jesus with them too. But most of them only knew Jesus as the bad word used at the end or beginning of a sentence. We're really starting from the ground. It's like an unreached people group. They know nothing. They have no context of who Jesus is, that he is a real man and fully God. So this last Easter, we had I have a little posse of girls. They're 10 years old. And I was talking about Easter, and they just was like, wait, what? Who? Jesus died and rose again? Like, they had no idea that that was what Easter was about. So we are doing our best to be led by the Lord to serve the needs of the people around us. Yeah, thank you guys for your prayer and your support. And in the summertime, yeah, we're just be praying. We're looking to travel and do some outreach and stuff. So just be praying for us in that next seasons. But yeah, love you guys. Thank you so much for your support. And if you have questions, let us know, because we love to talk. So.
Okay. Thanks, Chloe. Yeah, we do a lot of different ministries. And one of the other things that we do is in the summertime, commonly, we will have youth groups come and join us for a week-long program, which we call Mission Adventures. And what they do is they come to little old Kaiser, West Virginia, and we have a very full week. It's from, you know, the time they wake up till the time they go to bed. We have stuff planned. And we have teachings and devotions, and then we also go and do missions in our community. And one of the great things about that is we're able to show them, you know, we tell them stories about doing missions in other countries, but we also show them, this is how you do missions here in our country, in your own town. These are things that you can go and do to spread the gospel. And in that, we have some like set teachings that we often do. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is actually one of those. So as I was praying and asking the Lord what I should share, it did not escape me what today is. Today is the last day of 2023. And I thought back over the last year and thought, which is kind of cliche, I know, man, wouldn't it be nice to go into the new year with a clean slate? You guys, does that resonate with you guys this morning? You know, there were things that happened. There were highs, there were lows. I know it was a roller coaster for us in West Virginia, and I know it was for many of you here, but to go into 2024 just fresh, is that, do you guys agree? So obviously Jesus helps us have a clean slate. But I want to talk about something even more specific than Jesus. He is the total package. But today I want to kind of zoom in and focus in on the topic of forgiveness. So it is a little more teaching oriented than preaching, but I'll just share with you guys what I have. So the first scripture I want to read for you is Ephesians 4:32. You're welcome to turn, and the AV crew has last minute gotten the scriptures on the screen for me. You guys rock. Actually, let me pray real quick. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and to speak to each one of our hearts. You know the thing that each individual most needs to hear this morning. God, I pray and I invite you and give you permission to come and to speak that very thing. Speak to us and show us what you have for us in the new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 4:32. So forgiveness. I like to start off any teaching I do with why is it important? So some of these scriptures are answering that question. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Ephesians 1:7-8 says, "In him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Matthew 6. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." I don't know about you guys, but I would certainly like to be forgiven. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." James 2:13. Says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And then Matthew 18, this one we'll camp out on a little bit. Starting in verse 21, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times.'" I always like that because it's like Peter's going, "Ha, seven times, Jesus? I'm doing pretty good at seven times, right?" And Jesus totally blows him out of the water and says, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, which is 490. But you know, the whole thing about forgiveness, this is kind of getting ahead of myself, but to forgive is to let go of an offense and turn it over to Jesus. To say, I'm not the one that is going to hold this wrong accountable, but instead I'm going to let the perfect judge, the perfect God, do that. Okay? So the fact that you got to two means you didn't actually forgive, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love keeps no record of wrong. So if you've gotten to two, you didn't do something right at number one. Yeah? Which, trust me, I need reminded of that because there are times where I'm keeping a record and God says, hey, you're not supposed to do that. Okay, so in verse 23, it says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. But he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So why is forgiveness important? The biggest thing that I can say is because we want to be like Jesus, right? The whole goal of being a Christian, you've probably heard this before, but Christian started as a derogatory term. It was something that was said about the early believers. They were trying to be like Jesus. It was like, oh, look at little Jesus over there. It was a derogatory term, but it's true. That's what our goal should be as Christians, is to look like Jesus. And so normally when I teach this to kids, I put up a picture from the Jungle Book with what's the character's name? I don't know, but he's singing that song, "I want to be like you," because we want to be like Jesus. And that, to me, is the biggest reason why we should forgive, and because it was commanded to us. So there are a lot of reasons to forgive. Also, you know, by no means do I claim this is an exhaustive teaching on forgiveness. There are so many scriptures about forgiveness, we can only touch on a few. But these verses tell us that Jesus forgives freely and generously, and they tell us to do the same. As you know, the opposite of forgiveness would be harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. And I meant to bring a balloon, and I forgot. But sometimes when I teach this, I take a balloon and I say, you know, I'll make up, so-and-so called me a mean name. And I blow into the balloon. And then last night I got home and people were double parked and I couldn't find a parking spot. And it was raining. And so we drove until we found another parking spot, which was still very small. Who painted these lines so close together? And before you know it, as you continue to hold on to those things, that balloon is going to pop, right? Forgiveness is letting go, releasing. As we forgive and we let the air out, the balloon doesn't pop. Those were not made up examples. Last night we got home and people were double parked. And every time I teach this, before I get up and teach, I asked God, okay, is there anything I need to forgive? And this morning he said, remember last night when you were kind of grouchy about the parking? And so I had to forgive people that I couldn't get a spot that I thought I was entitled to, which I'm not, you know? So some other signs or some other reasons you might want to forgive. Because of the consequences of holding on to bitterness. There have been actual studies that show that there are literal physical results, things that happen to us when we don't forgive. You can have upset chemical imbalance in your body, ulcers, high blood pressure, skin diseases, facial features can even change, bone health, back problems, headaches. How many of you have ever been so upset about something that you had a headache, right? I think we can all say that we've been there at a time or two. 1 John 4:20 says, 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So if we do not walk in forgiveness, it gives us an inability to love God. The person that we ought to love the most, we cannot. That's a big deal. Emotionally, mentally, we struggle with depression, anger, exhaustion, fatigue. All of those things are the result of us holding on to things that we shouldn't be holding on to. Bitterness and victim mentality. So victim mentality, have you guys heard that terminology? That's a recent thing that people have been talking about. Here are some evidences of victim mentality. You might think these things. You can't do anything about your situation because it's in the hands of others. You resent others because they are making your life hard. You often feel defeated by your circumstances. You believe that God has favorites. You doubt God's love for you. You find comfort from being a victim. Where this one's the biggest one for me is you've lost hope that you or your life can change. Well, it's just always going to be this way. There are times when I start to live with a victim mentality, and that is the one that gets my attention or should get my attention, is when I'm going, well, it is what it is. Just have to keep on keeping on. So here are some signs that you haven't forgiven. You begin to distance yourself. So as I'm sharing this, if someone comes to mind or a situation comes to mind, perhaps you need to walk through forgiveness with that person or situation. And at the end of our time this morning, we're going to have some space to do that. Okay. So just write it down, log it away as the Lord prompts you. So some signs that you haven't forgiven is you begin to distance yourself from that person. You struggle with self-pity. Oh, woe is me. I can't do it. You have imaginary conversations with them. Anybody ever do that? Imaginary conversations? Well, they're going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say this. You feel you've tried to forgive them, but you just can't. You hope to see them fail. I'm guilty there too. Oh, you're going to step on my toes? Well, I'll let you try it your way, and we'll just see what happens. You seek to turn others against them. You plot against them, struggle with outbursts of anger, and then that whole victim mentality list. Those might be some indicators that maybe I need to forgive someone. So five things that forgiveness is not, okay? And then I'll talk about more about what is forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just, it's an important word, it is not just a feeling. I think a lot of times we think it's a feeling, but it's not just a feeling. It's not saying that you weren't hurt, okay? So many of us have things that perhaps we need to forgive that were real, legitimate injustices that were either done directly to us or indirectly. And honestly, those are some of the biggest things that we need to have forgiveness for. Because again, those are the things that are going to put the most air in the balloon. And if you hold on to those things, it will mess you up. It's not saying the people who hurt you weren't wrong, right? So sometimes you've had an injustice or you've legitimately been hurt. Sometimes it's just perceived, right? But perhaps you might say, well, that person, they didn't actually do anything wrong. I was just hurt. You know, that those things do not indicate or say, well, no, that's, or negate whether it's forgiveness. It's not necessarily being able to trust that person again. If there's someone you talk to that is a spitter when they talk, you know, and say they have no intention to spit on you when they talk, but they just always do. And maybe you get sick off of it, but you could say that's an actual injustice. Not a big one, but you know, you got sick. Forgiving them means that you let that go because you were really upset. It maybe cost you time at work, whatever. But also, maybe you don't stand quite so close next time when you're talking to them because they're a spitter. Maybe you don't even say anything to them about it. You just back up a little. And it's not a leaving responsibility from the other person, okay? When we don't forgive, when we harbor bitterness, there's a quote who I don't remember who said it, but harboring bitterness is like drinking poison, hoping it affects the other person. It's never going to happen. The best antidote for bitterness and unforgiveness is forgiveness. And another one, Max Lucado is credited with this one. Bitterness is its own prison. So why is forgiveness so hard? Because it's not an easy thing. I'm not here to claim that it is easy. I think it's simple, but it's not easy. And it's because it goes against our sense of justice. Well, somebody has to pay. I was done wrong. I was hurt. Someone has to pay. But that's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is about us. It's on our end. It's saying, I relinquish the right, which I didn't actually have, to hold that person accountable. And instead, I'm going to allow them to answer to God. I'm going to allow God to move in their life, not me. I would mess it all up anyways, you know? But that's what we're doing. We're transferring the record. We're saying, okay, I'm cutting myself out of this whole transaction, and that person answers to God. So forgiveness, what it is a choice. I believe forgiveness is a choice. And I believe that emotion often follows. It's not what starts it, but it comes later. And it's Holy Spirit enabled. It's when I go to forgive someone, I get very practical about it. This morning, as we were walking to the truck, I was reminded about the parking. And I said, okay, God, Holy Spirit, I choose to forgive the other people in their cars and help me to be an open channel of your love for them. Because ultimately, that's the goal, right? We want to be God's hands and feet to the people around us. And if we can be an open channel of love to them, then we are walking in forgiveness. So it's choosing that and choosing to let it go. And it's not always a one and done thing. So let me tell you another story. This one's carries more weight. So in 2015, I had gone to the missionary training school. I'd come home and I was working at a local business. And I knew that God was going to lead me full time back into missions. And at the same time, my parents were in Guatemala. And while in Guatemala, they were helping at a children's home and they were praying about selling everything that they had and going and being full time dorm parents, so to speak, at this children's home. And at the same week that God spoke to me, August 26th or 22nd, I can't remember now, is the day that I was going to go full-time with missions. That same week, he spoke to them, yes, sell everything, move to Guatemala. And so they were in Guatemala at the time, and they decided to go get pizza to take home to the girls. It was like 26 girls that were ages 7 to 10 and tell them, hey, we're coming back. And so they jump in the car and they are on their way to go pick up pizza. And as they're going, they come to a spot where it's a divided highway and they need to make a U-turn. The vehicle that my dad was driving had no side mirror on the driver's side, this side, you know. So he pulls over to the right, because that was the common practice, to look back over his shoulder, see if anything was coming. He looked and there was nothing. And so he begins to make the U-turn. And as he's about to make the U-turn, from the opposite direction, a car crests the hill. And so he pauses right at the median, which was only about the width of a sidewalk. And in that fraction of a second that my dad sat there, the car was struck by another vehicle. It was the equivalent of a 25-mile-an-hour zone. And they determined that this man was going 75 miles an hour. Hit the rear passenger door where my mom and two other girls were sitting in the back seat. My mom and the other two girls were all flung out of the vehicle. My dad said the vehicle left the ground, spun around twice before it hit. And when he looked in the rearview mirror, the back seat was empty. And he talks about being in a country where he couldn't speak the language. My dad, to this day, can't even ask you what your name is in Spanish. But he finds my mom, and she's barely recognizable. She's not conscious. And people are beginning to speak to him in Spanish, and he has no idea what's going on. And suddenly they load my mom into an ambulance that starts going that way. And by this point, someone has come that speaks English and tells him, you need to tell them that you're hurt. You need to go to the hospital. You need to get checked out. Because in Guatemala, you're guilty until proven innocent. And so if he didn't go to the hospital, the alternative was he was going to jail until they figured out what happened with this accident. And so he says that my mom went that way. My dad went that way. My dad never saw my mom alive again. One of the other girls that was in the back seat, her name was Ani. She was 18 years old. She also didn't make it. They thought she was going to make it. She was like a daughter to my dad. And she ended up passing away within like 36 hours. And in that time, I actually had gotten to Guatemala. I was with my dad when he got the news that Ani hadn't made it. And we were devastated. And so now two people have passed away. And so against my dad and this other man, whose name is Hugo, there were two counts of vehicular manslaughter that someone had to answer for. That's the way it works there. We're told that Hugo, his vehicle smelled of alcohol, strongly of alcohol, which later we were told, well, he just works at a place that produces alcohol. And we never, to this day, have seen him again. And so what I think happened, I don't have proof of this, is that Hugo had some money and that he paid his way out of this situation. My dad had to, he was under house arrest for a while until they had a court date set. And he had to appear in court and testify. And they ruled whether it was my dad's fault or not. And I'm told that there's no such thing as an accident there. Someone has to answer for what was done. And it was the one time that anyone we knew there had ever heard of that they ruled it was my dad's fault because of the way their traffic laws are written. And yet they said, you're good. My dad was able to walk out of there a free man. And so there's this man, Hugo, who somehow doing three times the legal speed limit, he wasn't counted at fault, which who knows, that I've had to walk in forgiveness. You know, I remember being in Guatemala and I had just come from a friend's wedding less than a week before. And at my friend's wedding, the groom danced with his mom. And I remember thinking, man, I will never get to dance with my mom at my wedding. I remember my younger brother was going to be a senior in high school, and he says, my older brothers, they have graduation pictures with mom. I won't have that. And to this day, you know, we've just had Caleb almost 10 months ago. I don't have any pictures of my mom with my firstborn son. We have pictures of her. We can tell him stories, but he'll never really know her because of someone else's choice. You know, my dad looked. The guy was going that fast that he wasn't there, and then he was. And so we've had to walk in forgiveness towards this man that I've never met. I could let that utterly consume me. You know, there are some cultures and times in this world where it would have been, I'm going to go find that man and I'm going to make it right. That's how people used to live, and some people still do. But instead, I've been able to continually walk in forgiveness. So that what I want to say is forgiveness is at times like an onion, right? Onions come in layers. So do ogres from Shrek, you know. But whenever a new layer of the onion presents itself, I'm faced with the choice. Will I forgive Hugo again, or will I begin to let a seed of bitterness grow inside of me? Like I said, some of the things we have to forgive are just perceived hurts. person maybe didn't do anything wrong, but we have a hurt. Some things are legitimate, but we still have to choose to forgive. Otherwise, it will consume us. So when it comes to forgiving people, like I said, what I do is I will literally say, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive Hugo. Help me to be an open channel of your love towards him. I don't know what he's gone through since that day. I would like to think that he's recognized the consequences of his actions. I don't know if he has or not. But I would like to one day be able to tell him that I forgive him. Because it's not up to me to hold him accountable. So, yeah, I have a few more scriptures for you guys, and then we're going to have a time of forgiveness as the Lord leads us. So here are some scriptures about how to love a lifestyle of forgiveness, because it's not a one-time event. If you forgave everybody right now for everything that's ever been done to you, by this time next week, you've probably got something else you need to forgive, right? Unless you're really good at, yeah, it's not a one-time event. So how to love a lifestyle of forgiveness. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. In Youth with a Mission, we often say, what is God trying to teach me through this? Or what is God going to, how's he going to turn this around? And it's true. God, there's something that he can use to use it for his glory. He takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for good. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If there's someone that, they're not a little onion, they're a big onion with lots of layers, that's a great way to work through that is say, okay, God, I'm going to choose to pray for them. This past year, with our team of people at Youth with a Mission West Virginia, things were a little rocky at one point in the relationships of our team. And so I began to choose to pray for the people that were irritating me. And it was silly things, and it was on my end. It was things that my own selfishness that was causing me to feel that way. But as I began to pray for them, the Lord showed me his heart. I began to be more loving, more patient with them. Asking God what he wants to teach you. And then the last one is to expect to suffer for doing right as a Christian. It is in Scripture. But remember that we have the victory. So Romans 8:36 and 37 says, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors, right? A conqueror is already a big deal. We are more than conquerors. And then the last verse is 1 John 4:4, which is one of my favorites. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, meaning the enemy. For he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So through Christ, that is how we experience victory. It is only by his enabling that we can forgive the difficult things in our life. It's only knowing, it's transferring things over to God. That'd be a lot harder if we didn't know whether God was going to be able to handle it, you know, but we know that he can. Yeah. Two other verses that I didn't give these guys. One of them is 2 Corinthians 5:18, which I'll turn there so I don't misquote it. Part of our role here on the earth, you know, we're to bear God's image. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. our job as Christians, one of the other facets of that is to reconcile people back to the Father. We can only do that as we're walking in forgiveness. If I go down here later today and someone offends me, how will I ever reconcile them to the Father if I don't make that right first, you know? And the other verse I was going to share, what was it? In Matthew chapter 5, get my little slip of paper here. Okay, 23 and 24. So this was in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar or your sacrifice, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Forgiveness and right relationship, especially among believers, is so important to God that he says, forget your sacrifice for a moment and go make it right. Do not let there be anything between you. That's a big deal. So the last thing I'll share before we have opportunity to pray through forgiveness is some common people that we need to forgive. Again, not an exhaustive list. So some common people are our parents or our grandparents. I grew up thinking that my parents were really great, and they were. But I have come to realize that there were things that I needed to forgive my really great parents for. Siblings, cousins, pastors, youth pastors, teachers, coaches. One of the times I was praying through forgiveness, God reminded me of a baseball coach I had in middle school that I hadn't thought about in years. He said, "You need to forgive that man." It's amazing the things the Lord will show us when we are open to it. Significant others or past significant others, friends, and one of the biggest ones of all is ourselves. To remind you of what I said forgiveness is, it's releasing or transferring accountability to God. It's letting go. There are things that we ourselves have done which God, you know, Jesus paid the price on Calvary. His blood was enough, more than enough. And there are times where we hold those things against ourselves and we said, no, it's such a terrible thing and I have to pay and I need to do all these things to make it right. When Jesus says, son or daughter, I've already made it right. Accept it. So if there's anything that you're holding on to, forgive yourself. Sometimes I'll literally look in a mirror so I can see myself, make eye contact, and I'll even do it in the third person and say, Jake, I forgive you for being upset about the parking. Ask God, is there anything that you're holding against yourself that he's moved on? He's moved past. He's chosen to remember no more. And the last one that I'll share with you, again, remember, forgiveness isn't necessarily saying the person did something wrong, as evidenced by this one. Sometimes we have to forgive God. He definitely didn't do anything wrong. But sometimes we were hurt. Forgiveness and us choosing forgiveness is about us releasing, us saying, yep, I was hurt. I'm letting it go. I'm going to move on. And I think sometimes we have to forgive God. Not that he's done anything wrong. I remember when my grandmother passed away, I was in sixth grade. And I was mad at God. And in his grace and patience, because he can handle us being mad at him. He's done it for a long time. He showed me that my grandmother was no longer in pain. She was with those that had gone before her. And most importantly, she was with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that wasn't the answer to the prayer that I wanted. But I set my selfishness aside and said, you know what, God, I guess you do know better. So This morning, we'll just take some time and yeah, I want to invite God to speak to us. If I'm sure he has been already, who or what circumstances do we need to forgive? And let's just do it. Why put it off? You know, why put off till tomorrow what you can get done today? And if the leaders of the church would be willing, if you would like someone to pray with you, you're welcome to come up here, or if you want to raise your hand, we can come to you. And let's put it into practice, right? So let me just pray. God, I thank you that we can forgive, that it is possible. You told us to forgive, and you wouldn't tell us to do something that we couldn't do with you. But through you, we have the ability to make a choice, to make things right. God, I pray that you would speak to us the things that are most consuming us, things that perhaps we have forgotten about that we need to make right. God, we don't want anything separating us from you, and we don't want anything separating us or keeping us from loving those around us.